This is cassette number two of a message by David Ebaugh entitled, When is the Rapture?
It will not come nigh thee. 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the what? Wicked. That means you're going to say it. See it. Well, if you see it, where are you going to be? You're going to be there and you're going to see it with your eyes. Only with your eyes you'll be. In other words, it won't affect you, but you'll see it. I was driving in the snow one time, and there the cars on a hill, and the cars were just off on every side. And I was just driving right on up the hill, right up the mountain, all the cars on each side, off to the side, and even cars crosswise. But my car just went like that. And praise God, and I was quoting the 91st Psalm every minute. 1,000 at the side, 10,000 at the right hand, but it did not come nigh me. In other words, praise God. Now, I don't think that I was any better than any of those other guys whose cars were off the side, but the Lord was showing me something then, and he was saying, see, it's going to be like this. There'll be a supernatural power, and you'll be able to weave in and out, and it'll work out for you. Now, the other guys are going to catch it. Why? Because they're not calling on me. But you called on me. And when you called on me, I have to hear, and I'll get you up the hill. Praise God. How many of you have been in trouble whenever you called on the Lord? No, I'm going to say it another way. You got in trouble and then called on the Lord. Come on now. Shake it up and down. Yes. When we call on the Lord and ask Him for His guidance, His direction, and His hand of mercy and protection, nothing bad ever happens. But we call on the Lord when we're in the skid. Come on, see the difference now. Now, I'm not finding fault for calling on the Lord when you're in a skid. I mean, that's the best place to go. You know, just call on Jesus, and things will get better. But you'd have been better off praising the Lord ahead of the skid. Might not have had the skid. Does that make sense to you, you see, on that? Psalm 121 tells us the same thing, that we don't have to fear because God is going to take care of us and protect us during all this time. Now, more of the Psalms, in Psalm 37, go back to Proverbs 10:30. Somebody turn to that and read it, please. Proverbs 10:30, that's such a shocking thing that I believe you have to hear it for yourself. You got it? What did you say? Yeah, that's it.
The righteous shall never be removed.
What?
But the wicked shall not inhabit the earth.
Well, we had it turned the other way. We had that twisted. We said the righteous shall be removed and the wicked shall get the earth. According to my theology, I mean my old stuff, the margin notes. But that says the righteous are not removed, they stay, and the wicked are removed. They don't get the earth. You see what I'm talking about? Okay, that's why I wanted you to read it, because that was a shocker. Go in Psalm 37, we won't turn to that, we'll just talk about it. In Psalm 37, 22, it says, the blessed shall inherit the earth. Now, most of us think the blessed will inherit where? Heaven. Die and go to heaven. That's not what it says. The blessed shall inherit the earth. Jesus was talking to the meek, and he said, the meek shall inherit the what? The meek shall die and go to heaven. Is that what he said? Say it right now. The meek shall what? Inherit the earth. Well, that seems so different from our theology. We think the meek ought to be the good boys and good girls and die and go to heaven and everything will be fine like that. But it's not what it says. The meek shall inherit the E-A-R-T-H. In Psalm 37:29, the righteous shall inherit the land, L-A-N-D. We're going to inherit the earth. We're going to inherit the land. We're going to have physical attributes, things that God's going to give us for a physical body. Why a physical body? Because a physical body is going to need. Because a physical body is immortal. It's incorruptible, but it still needs fish, still eats, still has physical attributes. You see what I'm talking about? In other words, I hate to do this to some people, but it sure takes a lot away, and yet it shouldn't. Some people want to be angels. Die and flap wings and fly around like an angel. Or be like a ghost and kind of slip around like that. You know? Yeah. But when we get this body, then it'll be in such harmony, such perfect harmony with the universe, that it will walk through doors like Jesus, you know, walk through closed doors and that kind of stuff. Why? Well, because by then the harmony in the universe will be established. Everything will be perfect. And while the atoms, we'll say the electrons and the door are all up, you'll make yours down and walk through it. And for the physicists, anyone who's had any courses in physics knows that we're mostly nothing. That ought to make somebody feel good. We're mostly nothing. Really, we're just force fields of these atoms, you see. And if we could, you know, get down to the little things, we'd find out that they could just wiggle right through each other if they were in harmony with each other. Do you see what I'm talking about? But since they're out of harmony, I've noticed that I still bump my toe. But if my toe was in harmony with the atoms in that wood and the carbon and all that kind of stuff, you just slip right on through. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? And if you had any courses in physics at all, that will start to make sense. So we'll have this kind of incorruption and immortality back by then. I assume we'll have what they call teleportation. You remember what happened to Philip? Yeah, up there in Samaria, down there in Gaza, just like that. Zoom. I tell you, that beats 747 any time. Yeah, the Lord, the Holy Spirit can say, I need you in Tokyo. Like that. There you are. And then you hear the Chinese or the Japanese music and the gongs and the things like that. And there you are. Because just that fast. Now, that's happened before. How many know that I'm not making this up? These are all Bible stories. And it's happened that way, and we praise God for it. Okay, let's go on just a little bit further. In Genesis chapter 41, verse 54, Pharaoh said that all lands had to come down to receive the seed. Joseph had interpreted the dream to Pharaoh, and the famine was so great it covered all lands, A-L-L, all lands. In 56, it said all Egypt, all of Egypt. In 57, it says all countries. In chapter, let's see, one other, I want to get this on the tape. Chapter 45, verse 3, Joseph said, I was sent into Egypt to preserve life. And the reason that I've interpreted the dreams, shown you the double sevens, made things work together for you, Pharaoh, is so that you could do the right thing, and when things are going good, you'd make the preparation so when things get bad. And you've done it, and now all countries, all Egypt, all lands, all life, all seed has now been preserved because you understood the double sevens. God speaks twice. God said it twice because he wanted to prove it as himself, and it would shortly come to pass. I'm implying by this that these doubles and parallels, the book of Revelation, the key to the book of Revelation, is given at the end time. Why? Because that's when we need to save life. That's when we need to save seed. Back then, Pharaoh and Joseph were talking, and Joseph said, I was sent to save seed. He talked to his brothers and his father and said, I've sent to save seed. Now, I believe that he was talking about more than wheat that you throw in the ground. I think he was talking about also the seed or the sperma or the natural seed of man, because all nations, all countries, all Egypt had to go down, for the famine was so great, and if they didn't go down, they died. Now that's what it says there. In other words, it was not only seed as far as wheat and rye and all that kind of stuff. I believe it was the seed in the loins of the the patriarchs who were there. Do you see what I'm talking about? Therefore, I believe that you and I have the same, can trace back to that, and that saving of them saved us. I'll tell you why. It says all lands, A-double-L, all people, all nations, all of Egypt, or the whole thing. Everybody was saved alive. Now, in Isaiah 43, it gives us a better idea of how these things might be happening. In Isaiah 43, and I'll try to just paraphrase, though you pass through the water, it shall not overflow you. Though thou pass through the fire, it shall not kindle upon you. I mean, there'll be a hot time in the old town tonight, but you won't get burned. You'll go through the fire. We'll ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego if they got raptured. Did God rapture Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Huh? No. Did they get out of the fire or did they go through the fire? It's that same supernatural technique or way. Now, I don't understand the supernatural. Does anybody here understand the supernatural? Does anyone understand how God does it? But how do they know He did it? How do they believe He did it? All right, then. In the future, we can expect the same pattern. The same pattern is developed right now. We'll ask Daniel, did he rapture you out of the lion's den? Uh-huh. He said, I tell you, I just curled up the lion's tail, made me a fluffy pillow out of lion's tails, and went to sleep. Hallelujah. He slept through the tribulation. Talk about peace. Anybody sleep in a lion's den must be peaceful. You know, there must be a supernatural. I bet he began to understand about this peace of God that passes all understanding. According to his natural understanding, he should have been very fretful. But he wasn't fretful. He was peaceful and went to sleep. Praise God. Jesus said He gives His beloved sleep. That's in the Psalms. You know that? And that brings peace. Okay. Now, in Exodus 8:23, Moses had been bringing some plagues upon the land. Then in 8:23, Exodus 8:23, he said, from this point forth, I'm bringing a division. Now, this is important. There's going to be a division between My people and thy people. And the last seven plagues did not hurt, touch, or harm the good guys. They only hurt the bad guys. Now, don't you remember? There were 10 plagues of Egypt. But the last seven didn't hurt Israel. The flies somehow had a supernatural radar, and they didn't land on Israeli cattle. They only went for the Egyptian ones. And all those things that were the last seven plagues didn't hurt the good ones, but it hurt the bad ones. Are you seeing a difference in pattern, a different way than we normally look at these kind of things? There was a division established. I believe that pattern is occurring right now, and a division is being established. Jesus said, I came not to bring peace to the earth, but to bring a what? A division. It'll be in 5, 3 against 2, 2 against 3, a division. And God is dividing us right now. Now, I think the thing that we want to do is to always make sure that we pray, Lord, I am willing to go, do, be whatever You want me to change into, as opposed to say I've got all the answers. Now, I'm going to say that again. If you've got all the answers, I think you're going to go the way of all flesh. But if you're still asking Jesus to show you, if you're still with meekness receiving the engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul or change your mind, I believe that is the division. For He said, I came to bring a sword, and the sword is the what? Word. Don't you remember? The sword is the Word, the symbol of the sword. He came to bring a sword, I'm bringing My Word. And if we'll, with meekness, you understand, I'm paraphrasing now from James 1:21. With meekness, receive the engrafted Word. Then it'll change our souls, change our attitudes, save our souls, and change our minds. We'll have a better way of looking at things when this division occurs. And I believe that is that symbol. And if you finally get the idea and say, I got it all, I know it all now, honestly, I don't think you got much of a chance. But if you keep seeking the Lord and keep saying, Lord, show me, I'm changeable, I have a spirit, a teachable spirit, then there's a good chance that you can go all the way. Now let's go to the most famous rapture scripture of them all, Matthew 24. Let's read Matthew 24, verse 30-something there. The most famous of all the rapture scriptures. 36. Of that day and hour knoweth no man. Not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the parousia of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the parousia of the Son of Man be. Okay. Who didn't know that something was going to happen? The bad guys. Who knew something was going to happen? Who made preparation? The good guys. That makes sense to you, doesn't it? All right. Who are the bad guys and the good guys nowadays? Those with faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ. Those are your good guys. The bad guys? Mammon. Things of this world. Things Gentiles seek after. That's where they got their faith, hope, and trust. And there's your difference. Okay. Now, verse 39 says, knew not till the flood came and took them all away. Who was taken away? Say it. Huh? The what? The bad guys were taken away by the flood? So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be the same way. Would you call a flood a tribulation? The coming of the Son of Man? Well, it's going to be the same way. Who's going to be taken away then? You know, I used to read that and say, then shall two be in the field. The one shall be raptured and the other left. And I twisted that. You know, verse 39, somehow in my mind, I don't know how our minds get into these traps, but there in verse 39, I said, see? It's going to be like the way it was in the days of Noah. All the sin in the world. All the sin here in the world. Then in 40, I said, see? Then two be in the field. The one will be raptured, and the other left. And I twisted that around completely. That's not what it says. It says it's going to be the same way. And the tribulation came and took away the what? The bad guy, not the good guy. But somehow in my mind, I figured it out that the good guy got taken out and not the bad guy. And it amazes me how once a seed is planted in our minds, it sits there and grows and grows and grows till it becomes a great big thing. And, you know, there's some people that I've given this explanation to and still don't understand it. Now, you're understanding it. I can tell by your eyes. You're understanding this. You're seeing why. Of course. In verse 39, the tribulation came and took away the bad guys. Well, then in 40, who's going to be taken away? The bad guys says the same way. But some people have that thought plugged so deeply in their mind that they can't see the difference. They just can't see it. It's amazing how our minds play tricks on us. Verse 41, two women grinding at the mill, the one will be raptured and the other left. Is that what it says? It doesn't say who's raptured, does it? And say, well, there's good girl or the bad girl raptured. But know this. Huh? Yeah, it doesn't even say who's raptured, does it? I'm sorry. I got that one all mixed up, didn't I? I got my tongue in front of my eye teeth and couldn't see what I'm saying. Yeah. Right. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Isn't that, that's the way it is. All right, now we'll ask Jesus. Jesus, would you please tell us who's taken first, the good guys or the bad guys? If Jesus tells us, that ought to settle it, shouldn't it? So, shouldn't it? If Jesus gives you it and says, well, I'll tell you right now who goes first, then that settles it. Turn to Matthew 13. 13. Matthew 13. And Jesus will sell it for us, whether it's the good guys or bad guys who go first. When I say good guys and bad guys, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? We don't have to go into all the theological. You see, unfortunately, some people, when they hear a tape or something like that, and I say good guys, they'll think what I'm talking about is their denomination. No, that's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about people with faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about your theological arguments right now.
For the concluding part of this message by David Ebal, entitled, When is the Rapture? Please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.